So I gather, Tammy, that you're wearing a big sign that says Merry Christmas on it, I think, probably. You ought to anyway, amen. When you go to a place like that, you ought to do that anyhow. Hey, listen, we're back in Psalm 52. I'd like to get 52, but we're just back in 42. Moving along from Psalm 1 to Psalm 42, and I can probably continue in the book of Psalms until the Lord comes and gathers us unto himself. I don't know. But I didn't get to speak last Wednesday. I didn't. We had so many great testimonies, and God had blessed throughout the year, and thankfulness. And, you know, every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. Not just on Thanksgiving weekend, but every day, wake up in the morning, thank God for a good night's sleep. If you didn't get a good night's sleep, thank God for a bad night's sleep. Then that means you're going to take a nap somewhere in the daytime. But we can find all reasons and all. And it shouldn't be all that difficult to be able to praise the Lord. Amen. We can find a lot of things that God's been so good. Anyway, we've been looking at Psalm 42, and the things troubles can teach us, that as we find ourselves, whether it's at school and we get this crazy, silly world perspective, I don't know what you want to call it, directive. I guess you might call it a directive, and trying to encourage you. And so in other words, everybody speak up, and you all who are Christians, shut up. That's pretty much what it amounts to. Listen, you know, he has much constitutional right to speak up, but you also have a very biblical responsibility to do it, regardless of whether it's a constitution or not. But anyway, we're in part two for things that trouble can teach us, and it actually does go along with a little bit of a Thanksgiving message there. But I know, as I began by introduction, have you ever used the expression after observing someone doing something foolish? And you say, man, what a knucklehead, or what a bird brain, or how careless can they be along the way? But this expression is hopefully that they learned a lesson from having done that thing that was foolish. I know in my past life, whether I was in the military or private military, or sometimes even when you're still yet young, you do some silly things, you do some foolish things, and you wish you hadn't done those things there. But anyway, you hope that you've learned. Or maybe there's another one. You might look at that and simply say, I bet they won't do that again. Yet you turn around and we live in a world where people keep doing the same old thing over and over and over again, and expecting a totally different result. And I think isn't that the understanding of insanity, is the idea that you think that somehow you can do the same old thing over and over and over again and have a different result. And unfortunately, those sinners are like that. They keep doing the same old thing, come up with the same old ideas. Listen, they don't commit a sin that hasn't been committed from following Adam forward. So there's nothing new under the sun. Now, we have to realize that even as Christians, we can backslide and get away from the Lord. And so even in our own lives, our flesh is still with us, and we have to be careful about where that leads us. But in this 42nd Psalm, the writer wants us to learn from his life. And that's one of the things that God has preserved and given to us, his word. He has given to us an infallibly preserved word so that we can open this book, we can meditate in this book, we can read in this book, we can study in this book as we're commanded to do, and we can learn from the lives of others. And we've learned a lot from the life of David. And David has shared a lot because he made some mistakes, and he moaned and groaned about a lot of things that you and I, even as Christians, we moan and groan about, even in our own lives. But I was thinking of Manasseh when he was king, who came to the throne after his father had died. Now, his father was a good king. He had some rough edges that had to be taken care of, but his son Manasseh, he was a wicked king. He was really a vile. In fact, at one point, he was considered one of the worst kings, one of the most vile kings that Israel ever had. And until his son came along, and when Manasseh was carried off into captivity, his son was even more vile than his father was. So that's why it's important for us as men to make sure that we walk the straight and the narrow path. If we're going to walk that crooked path, then hey, guess you know somewhere along the line, we're going to mislead our young people or those who are watching us and observing us. But again, they have to come to this term. Manasseh had to come. He had a good dad. For the most part, he chose that, you know, there's got to be a different way. And sometimes that's what our young people come to. Yeah, okay, I know what the preacher says. I know what mom and dad do. I know what the rules are of the house here. But there's got to be something better on the other side of the fence. And then they get on the other side of the fence and they realize, you know what, there's nothing better on the other side. In fact, there's things that are worse on this side of the fence. And they want to get back on the other side. But that's why it's so important for us. We have to provide them that pathway to get back on the other side of the fence where they ought to be. And that is to make sure that we as parents, we walk that straight and narrow so they know where to go. So they know where to look. But anyway, Manasseh was as evil a king as Israel had up to that particular time. And though his son who succeeded him was so evil that God actually took his life only after a few years on the throne. Now Manasseh's he had a rather long reign, although there was an interruption in that at one particular point. So God, who sees the human heart and life from beginning to end, saw something in Manasseh's heart that was worth redeeming. And that's the difference. God is able to look to the human heart and see things that we can't see. And even then we may look at someone and say, well, they used to be professing Christians. Now look at them. Well, their lives are wicked. Their lives are vile. But God took Manasseh off. He was into captivity for several years. God gave him plenty of time to think over his past prior choices and decisions. And we know that while he was in prison, really he had a revival. He had a personal individual revival. And so we see here tonight as we're going through Psalm 42 that first trouble, then God allowed King Manasseh to be imprisoned in Babylon. And there King Manasseh began to rethink his life and his heart. We can jump very quickly back to 2 Chronicles. And we'll read some scriptures there in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, I'll get there in just a minute. Now verse 11, the scripture says, "And wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the hosts of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction," now he wasn't in a comfy, cushy place. He was in affliction. That means he was in a prison. He was probably being fed the bread of affliction or the water of affliction, which was minimal bread, minimum water. He was meant to be suffer. But God had a reason. God had a purpose in speaking to Manasseh this way, because he probably was like me, knucklehead who doesn't listen very carefully and respond as quick as we ought to, and sometimes we take a little bit longer. And it says there in verse 12, "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God." Isn't it amazing how in the time of trouble, that's when all of a sudden we turn to God? We get real serious about God. Remember 9/11? How America got real serious about God for maybe a few months or so? It didn't take very long. God is going to make sure that when Manasseh repents and he has that revival, there's going to be a strong revival in his heart. In verse 13, it says there, speaking of Manasseh, he said, "He prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew," notice those words, "then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God." There are times when God has to work in our lives so that we know. Now, I guess the question oftentimes comes is, do you really believe there's a God? Oh, yeah, I believe there's a God. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a deep, dark place in our lives. And then we begin to, okay, of course, then where is God? What happened to God? I thought everything was okay. You certainly think of Job. Job was in a dark place. Now, and God even said that he was a man who was a just man. He was an upright man. He eschewed evil. And yet he went through some really dark times. Lost his children, lost his wealth, lost his prosperity. His wife told him, curse God and get it over with, curse God and die. So he was in a dark place. And so God put Manasseh in a dark place so he could at least come to the realization that the Lord, he is God. Not these idols and images that were probably Manasseh was putting up all over the places there, Moab and the king of the idol of the Moabites, I can't think what his name is, Baal and so on, all those different gods, as you would. And he was worshiping them. And he was worse than even those who would have been the product of idolatry. So it appears that King Manasseh learned a thing or two. And whether self-appointed troubles or troubles God permits to enter our lives, we need to humble ourselves and allow God to teach us. One may aptly say, troubles are teachable moments in our lives. Troubles are teachable moments in our lives. And as Christians, if you're outspoken about your faith, you're going to be objected to. You're going to find people who are going to get in your face. You're going to find people who are not going to want to hear what you've got to say. You go down into the Burlington there. Listen, you knock any door here in Essex Junction or maybe over in Colchester or any of the other places over here. You know what? People don't want you at the door. They don't want to hear what you've got to say. Well, we found a different way to do that. We're writing letters. We're putting a track in there. It's going to get in the home. They're going to take it in the house. And whether they open it or not, we don't know. We're praying they will. We're praying that the track that's in there, three things God can't do, it surprises people. You mean God can do anything God wants? Well, no. He can't let anybody into heaven if they're not saved. He can't do that. So there's three things that God can't do. And hopefully that will pique some interest here and have some people begin to realize, you know what? Maybe we do need to get back into church. And maybe we do need to get saved. And maybe we do need to come to know Christ. And hopefully the phone will ring and someone will say, Pastor, could you come by and visit with us? We just got your letter. We just got to track you. That's a question we'd like to ask you. Could you come by? And we need to pray that way, you know, that God would open these doors so we can get into these homes and be able to share the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you know, we know Satan's not giving up. He's fighting all that much harder. It seems like the pandemic's getting over. We may say Dr. Fauci doesn't want to let it go. I'm going to tell you the devil doesn't want to let it go. All right? The devil, and Dr. Fauci's not the devil, by the way. He may be a misguided virologist, but he's not the devil. But the devil doesn't want to let it go because the more he can keep people separated, the more he can keep people wearing masks and mandating assemblies and groups of this nature there. He's happy because, hey, listen, it's getting harder to preach the gospel to a full church because people don't want to come out. So anyway, we looked at the first point was that troubles have the ability to put our lives on hold. And we saw that in Psalm 42 and verse 1. And then troubles have the ability to cause a course correction in our lives. And that was a wake-up call for Manasseh when he found himself in prison. He didn't have the luxuries of his kingdom, didn't have his servants, didn't have his fine meals, didn't have his fine clothes, didn't have his fine bedding. He didn't have anything but what he had in prison. He was in affliction at that particular time. And so guess what? He began a course correction. He realized that he was wrong. His father was right because his father was following God, and so were the prophets in Israel. And so the third point here, very quickly here tonight, getting our prayer time, is that troubles have the ability to test one's faith. Amen? And go back to Psalm 42. In Psalm 42 and verse 3, the scripture says this. And it says there, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And when you're going through troubles, I was thinking my oldest son, Ron, going through lymphoma, and now he's home. He came down with the fevers, and he had to get back into the hospital so he could stay isolated and away from whatever, and they could get him on the IVs and so on there. It's a testing time. It is a real serious testing time. They said, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say to me. And others would be questioning, okay, listen, you serve this God, you love this God, and where is your God now when you need him most? God's where he always is. He's within us. He is a part of us. And so, having read the historical account of King Manasseh, we can see the value of his troubles, for in his own words, he stated in verse 13, he said, says here, then Manasseh knew the Lord. He was God. And God wants to, at some particular point, America's going to have a rude awakening, and America's know that God is God. None of this foolishness that the world is thinking about here today. And I doubt that this was one of those oops moments and everything turned around for Manasseh, as we had learned that in 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 11, that he was in affliction. And God made sure that he was in affliction. So there was a pride issue with Manasseh. Sometimes it can be a pride issue with you and I as Christians. We need to be very careful about that, because pride is one of those things that leads us to make terrible decisions and terrible choices, or keeps us from receiving Christ as one's own personal Lord and Savior. So there was a pride issue that God wanted Manasseh to deal with. It is one of the most difficult issues of the heart. Pride is one of the most difficult issues of our individual hearts. Verse 12, as we saw back in 2 Chronicles, Manasseh did in time humble himself. If he wanted to get out of that mess, who else can remember in the Bible who had to humble himself? Nebuchadnezzar. 7 years of living in under the sun and the stars and the rain and the cold and the heat and whatever else it was, eating whatever animals would eat, and what a mess that man was. But it took 7 years of that condition to break the man down to where he was willing to humble his heart, and he looked up into heaven and he acknowledged God. And sometimes that's what it takes. God allowed this time of trouble to give first, that is Manasseh, time to reflect on his life. I've had those moments when I've been in the hospital. I'm sure Ron's had plenty of time to reflect on the Lord his God, his walk, his relationship. Secondly, the source of his trouble was self-inflicted. And sometimes the problems we have are not something that God's bringing to try us or to test us here. It's like shooting ourselves in our own foot. These troubles were our choices. They were our decisions, if we will. And how did Manasseh get to where he got? He made some bad, really bad choices. He made some really bad decisions with his life. And so it was self-inflicted, although God allowed it to happen. Thirdly, the only way out was to humble himself. And he finally had to come to that realization. It was the same thing with Nebuchadnezzar. If I want to get back to that throne again, I'm going to have to humble myself and stop taking credit for what God has empowered me to do. Daniel warned him, did he not? Daniel warned Nebuchadnezzar about the pride of his heart, and the king didn't listen. He went up there, he went up on the walls one night, looked down and said, "Look at all the worlds that I myself have built." Boom, the next day, he was stricken. And so, fourthly, is to make the necessary corrections in the course of our life. So Nebuchadnezzar had to make the correct course changes in his life. Manasseh had to make some changes in his life. David, from time to time, had to make some changes. I'm sure you and I also have had to make some changes in the way we have thought, or the way we have acted, or the way we have reacted. That is the purpose of spiritual growth, is to bring those kind of changes that are more Christ-like and less common to the sinful man, that are less common to the flesh and more acclimated to that of the Spirit. And so the best result, he came to the full knowledge that the Lord, he was God. So our takeaway from both Psalm 44 and verse 3 and 2 Chronicles 33 is that lessons from our troubles involves a fuller evaluation, not on my part, but on us as individuals between us and the Lord. A silence from heaven as God gives us time to reflect on the reasons for our trouble. There are those times when God simply says, you know what, you need to just kind of sit there. You need to kind of meditate. You need to think about what's going on around you, the circumstances that you're in or the situations you're in. Take some time. Grab it. Get a hold of it. Think it through biblically. Pray. Meditate. Read your scriptures during those particular times. And it's amazing how God will begin to speak to your hearts along the way. So, secondly, is due to unwillingness to confess our sin. And God is waiting for our 1 John 1:9, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have to realize that if we will confess that sin, God will forgive us and God will restore us. Now, it's not always going to be an easy walk after the restoration, but God promised he would do that. But thirdly, it might also be a test of our character. Will we lean heavily upon the Lord and pray, seeking until God answers? Daniel, often he was a prayer warrior for his people. God used him greatly in captivity, but nonetheless, there were times when he had to pray and pray and pray and pray. He had to pray until the answer would come. Satan was trying to do everything he could to prevent the prayers from ever getting answered. And you can read about that in Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. But Daniel waited while his heart was troubled. And so sometimes in our hearts of trouble, we have to wait upon the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know when you're going to answer this prayer, but Lord, I trust you. I know you're going to do that. It'll be according to your perfect timing, not my timing, but Lord, it'll be according to yours. But then fourthly, our trouble can also be a satanic attack to keep us from making any spiritual progress, or because we have, as in Job's situation, the devil, he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your testimony. And if he can destroy your testimony, he can destroy your marriage. If he can destroy your marriage, he can destroy your family. And he wants to destroy the ministries as well. And so here is the bottom line with trouble. It is allowed by God for a reason known only to him, and therefore must be dealt with on a spiritual basis. You got to get along with God. You got to get alone in a prayer closet. You may even have to do some fasting along the way. These are some things that we're going to have to do during very troubled times. So prayer, we talk about prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. We ought to always be in a state of prayer. always in a state of prayer, all the time. Like Danny, God spoke to you about praying for that, what is it?
Bojel.
Yeah, Bojel. Oh, Bojel. That young lady. Okay. But then the Bible also says to give thanks in everything. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we have to be in a state of prayer. You look at something like that, and that was probably eaten up by a lot of people, thinking that this woman was so right when she was so wrong. You see, that's because they have a worldview, and the worldview is altogether wrong. You're coming from a biblical view, so at that turn time, you say, well, how do I get thanks out of this? Thank you, Lord, I can see through it. Thank you, Lord, that I have an understanding that that's not right. Thank you, Lord, open the door so I can not only pray for this woman, I can also maybe have an opportunity to be able to talk to her about the things of the Lord. And so when we understand this process, which God uses, we will discover a great more about God. We'll discover a lot more about God's love. We'll discover a lot more about God's faithfulness, and we'll learn a great deal about our own heart in the process. Jeremiah said, our heart is deceitful above all else, desperately wicked, and who can know it? And verse 10 says, I, the Lord, trieth the rain. God knows our hearts. And sometimes He has to reveal what He knows that we're either not willing to admit is there, or that maybe we're just turning a blind eye to it and we don't recognize it at all. So, things of trouble can teach us as we kind of continue to go through this. We've got a couple more that we'll deal with, not tonight, but as we go down the road in the next few Wednesdays. So let me see. We got the Bible reading schedule there, and we also have our prayer list right there. As I said, my granddaughter Jackie, I put it down here because my phone was on charge. My wife couldn't find her phone, so we didn't get notice until my daughter Randy called me, and she said, "Hey, did you hear the great news? What news?" And that was that we now have our third great grandchild. I'm not sure what he came up with Hudson Bly. But to each his own out there. Hannah and Terry Rehume, pray for them as they adjust to a new life as parents, first time parents. David and Leah expecting in April of 22. So I don't think I've added anything else to that here tonight. Let me see if I add anything. I don't think so. Our young people will be coming up on finals here in just probably another week or so, really, because they're going to be coming home and hanging out on the 13th from the different colleges and so on. So pray for our students so that they'll remember all the things they've studied and all the things they prepared, and be glad to have our young people back home once again. And they're going to be doing a lot of traveling during some difficult times otherwise. All right, so there we go. Jack. Good one for us here tonight. Steve, pregnancies, spiritual growth. Mike, salvations. And did you notice Mrs. Tardy? I got him. She just wanted to make sure I got the right missionaries of the month. So missionaries of the month. Clark, would you get those missionaries of the month? The pastor that I put down here, Vermont pastor of the month, that we're going to be praying for him and his church, is Brother Fred Roberts and his wife Jessica. New Testament Baptist Church is in Arlington, Vermont. And so continue to pray for them. They're a young couple. And I've been just starting to attend the Vermont Pastors Fellowship here. So just pray for those young couples in there. So, and of course, the missionaries of the month here, the Tigners and the Williamsons and Bruchels. Remembering them, and remember that she is with ARM, an auxiliary retired missionaries that are still busy and still working for the Lord. And she is, she has a Japanese ministry to the Japanese out of her son-in-law's church in Ohio. So she's still, again, very active. Brother Ronnie Williamson, he's been up here in Vermont for about 5 years before he actually ended up down in with the Voice of Wilderness Ministries out of North Carolina. And then, of course, the Tigner families, we know that they're in Ecuador. So, so Jack, if you get us going, appreciate it.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here tonight. We thank you for your answers to our prayers so faithfully. We continue to pray for Clark's eyes to remain healthy, as well as Pastor Dennis' eyes having trouble with his eyes as well. And others that have diabetic problems, or keep their eyes healthy as well. Rosa, we pray for her heart problems and the medication she's on, and whether she can get by without having this ablation, or just that you give the doctor wisdom concerning that and help her with all the changes they have to make and all the things that are present in their life. We continue to pray for Dan Charles Ministries out west in Texas area. We pray that they'll get the needs for their safety and finances as they spread the gospel in that area of our country. We pray for President Biden for his salvation and for his family to get saved. We pray for our legislators, both the Senate and the House, that they would get saved. Apparently, we have a few that profess to be saved. And just pray that they would have an impact on their fellow legislators, and that we would see many of these folks come to their knees as their Savior, so that decisions would be made biblically instead of the way they come down. And we pray for our own state here with our governor, that he would get saved, and for the House and the Senate as well here, and for the judicial system, especially in the Supreme Court, where the judges are going to be making decisions soon that could change the abortion policies in our country. We just pray that that abortion could be stopped from House to the now. We pray for these judges to make the right decisions. We pray for Mike's Circuit Court Office, as well as others that have diabetic problems in that area. We pray for your help there. Pray for Robin, who's been dealing with lung cancer for quite a time now. We just pray that you continue to help her be with doctors as well. And for Ron, again, we're thankful that he's home now. And just pray that you help him to just be strong through this and help the doctors dealing with this. And as they try to rebuild his system, just pray that there won't be any sickness that gets in there, that he can just totally regain his strength. And we pray that you be with his wife as well, and help him through this, and pray that the end result, that he'll be without any form of cancer. Pray for Adia Ed, who's dealing with a family crisis, that you help her to use the Word of God as in dealing with that, for the answers that she needs. And for Steven Ross, who's dealing with myasthenia gravis, that you deal with them, to the doctors, and help them to, if there's not a cure, to cope with it. To help through that tough this time with that. And for Diego Hall, who's going through undiagnosed physical problems, and to deal with him, how to think back to the difficult things that he learned, the things of God, how to reflect on those things, and for the answers that he needs. We pray for Richard Phelps, who's continuing battle with cancer. We pray that you help him in that area. He was a doctor as well as they deal with this. And the saints of the trials of Chile, we're so thankful that the children have recovered from their sickness, especially the little one that was in the hospital, and to see them all get out the sicknesses that they were in, and on their way to Chile, is a really answered prayer. We pray that they'll have a great ministry there in Chile, and that they reach the people there. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name.
Our gracious Father, come once again, as we continue before you tonight, first and foremost, let me give you some great praise for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, for the sacrifice that he made because of your love for us, Father, the graciousness that he has, that, Lord, you have imparted unto us who believe. So, Father, it's only through that gracious blood of Christ that we come boldly to you tonight. We ask our prayers upon you. Of course, we want to give you great praise also for the recent births. We think of Jack and Blake, the birth of their son, and Father, we should give you great praise for the care that you took for them. Lord, as this young boy was developing, Father, we should continue to pray now for the family. Father, as they adjust to the third child, and Lord, also as the children adjust to his new brother. Father, we pray that your spirit would guide and direct the entire family there, but also we think of the church, and what a blessing this is to them out there as well. We just pray, God, that, that these things will, Lord, be lifted up in great praise and honor of you. So, Father, we just pray that your will be accomplished even now for your husband as he grows through these first days. And we just continue to pray for safety and for your protection about him and for Jack as well. And, Father, for the rest of the family. Then we also think of Hannah and Terry, Lord, the recent birth that they had, and we pray that once again, as they adjust to being first-time parents, Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak to their hearts, and Lord, just guide them as they go, Lord, may the word of God be true in their hearts as to how to raise their child and future children. And so, Father, we just give great praise for these safe deliveries and for the lives that, Father, you create them, that you've given, Lord, for these parents to care for, to raise and to nurture. God, we also pray then for David and Lena, as we expect even again in the coming April. Father, we continue to pray for your safety for not only the developing child, but the girl that they are expecting, but Father, also for the family there, for the brothers, Lord, the boys there. We just pray, God, that you would work through your power, even through David and Lena, for teaching and for guiding and for helping to set expectations, and Lord, as they anticipate the birth coming up in a few months, Lord, we just pray for safety as the child develops and pray for your will to be accomplished there. But then also we think of times we aspire together as organization, Lord, for counseling that they do, we pray for finance for them according to your will, we pray for wisdom that they will need for sure in their counseling efforts, Lord, counseling the ladies to, Lord, choose life rather than this abomination of abortion. So, Father, we just pray that, God, you would work mightily through the organization there, through the counselors, through the word of God that they will share with these young mothers. And, Father, may they, Lord, find living ways, Father, if they believe they cannot raise their children, Lord, there are so many that, Lord, want to just give the love that you have given to us and given to them that, Lord, would not be children. So, Father, we just pray that, God, Lord, the travesty of abortion would be the farthest thing from their mind, and through the counseling and the wisdom and the work of the Holy Spirit, God, that you will impress upon these young mothers that life is so precious. And what they hear from the world and what they hear from worldly foolishness that they try to call wisdom, Lord, we just pray that they'll be able to tune out that kind of thought, and they'll just be able to really understand that, Lord, it is your child that is developing. So, Father, we just pray that also there would be those, Lord, the families available and willing to share and willing to adopt and willing to take on these children that are being put up for adoption. We just pray that, Father, you would work with Jerry, for Justin, and Ted, and Tracy, and Sam. We pray also for Jordan, for John, for Gail, and her daughter. Father, we pray for Jacob C., Pete, Andre, Chelsea. We also pray tonight, Father, for Emily, and Jacob, for Brian, and Justin. Before we continue to pray, for Lorraine, for Zach, Father, we want to be the precious soul in your sight and in your eyes. So, Father, as they need confession, Lord, may they abandon their idolatry of the things that they're holding on to in the world. May they come back to you and grow in your grace and in your knowledge, so that, Father, you can use them in mighty and terrific ways to show the better path of us. We pray and ask all these things now in the name of Christ our Son.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful we can come together tonight, Lord, and bring these prayer requests before you. And Father, tonight we're thinking of salvation. Father, there are many that we come in contact with each day. We pray, Lord, that our lives would be found well-pleasing and to give a testimony for our Lord and Savior. But Father, there are many names that are down here tonight. They obviously were put down by somebody whose heart is heavy for them and have a burden. So we pray for these names tonight, Lord. We think of Walt S., we think of Sharon and Todd M., we think of Corey B., we think of Austin and Kenny F., we think of Cynthia and Paul P., we also think of Taylor B. and his family, we think of Mark H. and his family. We also think of Shara and her family. We think of Beth Y. We think of Stephen T. We think of Jacob C. We think of Patrick, Tim, Taylor, David, Brandon, Grant, and Tommy H. We also think of Marcus and Sharon L. Father, special names, Lord, that have been put down here for a reason, because their hearts are heavy on somebody's heart. So, Father, we pray for these special needs tonight, Lord, and these special people. Father, you know their hearts. We pray that you bring someone across their path soon that might be able to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And again, Father, we thank you that we can bring these prayer requests before you tonight. We pray all these things in our precious Lord's name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we think of the pastor and Mrs. Chris Pinger and family. His ministry is in Ecuador, South America. We think of Dr. and Mrs. Williamson, representing Voice in the Wilderness Ministry, and Mrs. Janet Burchell, ARN Ministry of BIMI. I'm not quite sure what all that's about. Lord, you know all about it. The needs, Lord, pray that you meet the needs of all these people. And then some, Lord, not even mentioned here, doing a great job for thee. Lord, I think of this Pastor Fred Roberts and his wife Jessica in the New Testament Baptist Church in Arlington, Vermont. Lord, just apparently a new ministry, young pastor and his wife. We can pray, Lord, that you've given them a good, rousing welcome in that area. Lord, coming to hear the Word of God preach as it rightly ought to be, and meet the needs. We know that when a new pastor shows up, a very small church, Lord, quite often they have to work a full-time job to put food on their table and all that sort of thing. And we just pray that the things that we can do to help a little bit, even more than keeping them in prayer, and put it before us very plainly, that we would see it and recognize your speaking to us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Father, tonight we think also of these additional names. And, Lord, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord in the middle of the week. And Lord, to get our hearts and our souls and our spirits lifted up and rejoiced. And Lord, realizing that we go out into the world, we're going to be fighting a spiritual warfare, and that, Lord, we can be strengthened, we can be encouraged, we can be reminded of who we are and whom we serve, and who guides us and who directs us. But Lord, we think of Brother Jim tonight, and Rosa, and not able to be here tonight. And Lord, we pray that you continue to work with Brother Jim as he recovers. Lord, I know it's been a rough couple of months for him and for Rosa as well. And Lord, we pray that you continue to work mightily and wonderfully to the healing of the body. Lord, we think of all of our students for spiritual growth tonight. Lord, we know that many of them are in Christian colleges, but Lord, it's easy to backslide even there. They get to the point where they forget about having their personal devotions and their personal walk and their personal quiet time with you, that, Lord, it's not very long before they do begin to backslide. So, Lord, strengthen them, encourage them, that the things that they've heard will challenge and change their lives. They'll come back spiritually mature. Lord, we think of our EMT firemen and police personnel. Lord, we pray for their souls. We pray for their safety. We know that they're out and about in the community. And, Lord, they have families like we do, and they want to go home to them. So, Lord, we pray that you will bless them for their service, but, Lord, also that they would come in contact with someone that knows Christ and have the gospel shared, that they might come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray for the effective nature of our outreach. We thank you, Lord, for the report that we receive. Lord, acknowledging that you make it all possible, and that it is your word, it's your message that goes forth. And so, Lord, we pray that as these things are downloaded and shared, that again, lives will be challenged and lives will be changed and souls will be saved. Lord, we pray that you move in the hearts in response to the mail outs that we have. Lord, the tract that is in there, Lord, may it really not just only pique the people's interest, but they'll read it, and Lord, they'll read it with an open mind and an open heart. Lord, that you break down the barriers and break down the walls, that they will be able to see by having the scales removed from their eyes and the dullness from their ears, that they might hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, that, Lord, we may see a number of souls come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we think of Marty D. and we think of Nellie Winterstein as well. We pray that you wash over these two ladies. And Lord, we know that they're elderly and life is more difficult. And so, Lord, we pray that you watch over them physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Lord, for Diana, as she is dealing with a 4-stage cancer, and Lord, pray that you'll be with this woman, especially with not just only the physical needs, but Lord, the spiritual needs that she has at this time. Lord, for Arden and her continued recovery from various surgeries, we pray that this surgeries will work wonders and marvels, that Lord, what they can't do, we know the great physician can. And Lord, we think of Lena tonight as she deals with chemo treatments. We pray that you guide and direct with her and her life, and that, Lord, we know she's saved, that she'll have an opportunity to be able to share the gospel with others that she may be around at the time, doctors and nurses. And so, Lord, we think of Karen also for the healing in her foot tonight. Lord, you continue to work in her heart and her life for that. And, Lord, salvation of the owner of the good store. Lord, if he's not going to get saved, then, Lord, that you'd close down the store for lack of business. Lord, it's when you do the devil's bidding, you do the devil's business. Lord, we know that we have a message that is stronger and greater. And so, Father, may the word of God be presented to him in a way that will cause him to come to know you and therefore have a change of heart and a change of life. Lord, for Willie tonight, we pray that you be with him as he continues to deal with COVID. Jim Dowers for success and the health particular program that he's in, that he so much wants to see fruit from it. Lord, may that be the case. And so for Marsha Roy, bladder cancer and her salvation, Lord, in a way that only you can. And sometimes, Lord, cancer is a way to get people to wake up and to realize that they're not sure about their eternal destiny. And if she's not, then, Lord, may she seek you out and or to seek someone out who can help her and lead her and share with her the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for Joshua and Amity and their first child as well, and pray that you'll give them the strength and the courage and the knowledge. Lord, the wisdom that they need as parents to raise a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, for the Kite family, Lord, it's with great sorrow that Dennis's wife has gone home to be with you. We're thankful that she is saved. But Lord, it's always difficult when you lose your life mate. And so, Father, we just pray that you'll be with the family tomorrow as they gather together for the funeral services, and that, Father, your name will be lifted up and magnified, and that, Lord, if there's one who is attending that doesn't even know you as Christ, as Savior, then that, Lord, they'll come away from there knowing you and having a home in heaven as well. So, Father, won't you guide and direct in all these things that we've lifted up before your throne of grace. Lord, we know that you love us. We know that you care about us. And, Lord, may we love you with the same intensity and the same duration, and we'll give you that praise in Jesus' name. Amen.